Let's give the Lord a great hand of praise for the pastors that broke the ice this morning in this where we're heading. You know, we're on the path. And that path is that really our heart. You know, we got to follow those convictions of our heart. We got to follow the heart. But if we get numbed by it through sin, through the cares of the world, we get off the path. We end up going down to the wide is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. Or narrow is the road that leads to life. And not many people find it. It's in our heart. And a lot of people think they are following their heart, and they're really not following their heart. They don't really know what where their heart is, or the voice of the heart. Like Pastor Sam said earlier, you end up getting numb. And you lose the conviction of your heart. You don't know. You're numb. You have no idea what your heart is saying, what your heart is leading you, guiding you. And it's really the Word of God, the voice of God in your heart. The Word of God is sharper and powerful than any two-edged sword. And the Word of God, everyone thinks the Bible is the Word of God, but the Word of God is really that voice that's inside of each and every one of us. Religion wants you to say this is the Word of God. You have the Word of God inside of us. I'm so full of joy and happiness that I can't wait. I'm like waiting for my new life. I'm waiting for what God has for tomorrow. I'm waiting. But in order to come to this place, you have to overcome fear. Fear is the biggest thing that attacks each and every one of us. And fear is what caused us to get numb. Fear has what has brought us to a place of embracing the voices that are in our head that lead us to destruction. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Wide is because that's all we know. Narrow is because we don't know. Knowledge is great. And when you have a lot of knowledge, your road is wide. But the knowledge that we have, we were born in. And that's sin. We were born in sin. And my message today, I would say, is I want to speak about death. But not carnal death. I want to speak about spiritual death. I want to talk about spiritual death. And we all are spiritually dead. Not those that come into the truth, not those that come under the covering and begin to start repenting and coming into a place of Christ, but I'm talking to the world. We were born spiritually dead. We need to understand what spiritual death is. How did we get there? I'm going to share some of these quotes here. Some answers to this question. First of all, death is a separation. A physical death is a separation of the soul from the body. A spiritual death, which is of greater significance, is the separation of the soul from God. Or I'm going to say, your spirit from God. In Genesis 2:17, God tells Adam that in the day he eats of the forbidden fruit, he will surely die. Adam does fall, but his physical death does not occur immediately. God must have had another type of death in mind, called spiritual death. This separation from God is exactly what we see in Genesis 3:8. When Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord, they hid themselves from the presence of God. And the fellowship has been broken. They were spiritually dead. And this is what happened. We have become spiritually dead because our mind has been separated from our heart. Now our mind is all that we know. All we think. We reason. We don't have God. God is within inside of us. How many are beginning to start to understand this mystery? God is within all of us. But we're not alive. How do we get alive? How do we come alive? For one, you have to forsake all. Paul says, I die daily. You got to forsake all the cares of the world. You just got to let them go. Now, I have a lot of wants. There's a lot of things I want. Wanting things is not wrong, but cares are bad. Now, what's the difference between wants and cares? I shared this before in the past. Sometimes I tend to repeat myself, but I do this so that we can build a good, solid foundation so that when you're not here, it comes back in remembrance. You know, you might say to yourself, oh, I heard that before. Oh, I know that. But when these things are manifesting in your life during the week or on a daily basis, how come you don't hear that or know that at that time? This is something that we have to ask ourselves. So we might know the truth, we might know these principles, we might know this stuff, but why do we do the things that we don't want to do that we keep on doing? It's because of sin that dwells inside of us. It robs the truth from us. So cares and wants are two different things. Wants are, I would like to have this. I would like to see this in my life. I would like to have this in my life. I would like to be a part of this in my life. That's fine. You're at peace. The Lord gives it, He gives it. If He doesn't, He doesn't. I'm okay with it. Maybe it's not the timing. I'll be patient. I'll bear good fruit. I'll wait. Cares are, I gotta have it. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it takes. I gotta have it. And you're troubled. And your heart's troubled. And you're frustrated. And you're tormented. And then you're fearful. Oh my God, am I ever gonna get it? Oh my God, am I gonna get it? Life's passing by and I don't have it. I want 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 it. And it becomes cares. And not only does it become the care that steals your joy and peace, but it also adds pressure on you and torment and depression, and it just piles up because now it'll never happen. Or when God is putting you on that path and He is leading you and guiding you because He sees that you would like, you want, and He's trying to give you the desires of your heart, fear comes in and strips you away from your path. We have to understand this spiritual death. This spiritual death is always working in us and around us. It's there. It's trying to steal, rob, kill, destroy our life. And I'm not talking about an eternal life. I'm talking about your life. Things might be good right now, but it could be a lot better. You see what I'm saying? We became numb and we settled. And we're at a point in our lives that we're just living to breathe. But where's the joy? It comes in like Pastor Tim was saying earlier. It comes through all those other things that we mask. I'm going to tell you right now, we mask a lot of our lives with stuff. We mask it. When God really wants us to just enter into His rest, we need to come out of this spiritual death and come into a spiritual life. Let me share something with you. It says, a man without Christ is spiritually dead. Paul describes it as being alienated from the life of God. In Ephesians 4:18, to be separated from the life is the same as being dead. The natural man, like Adam hiding in the garden, is isolated from God. When we are born again, the spiritual death is reversed. Before salvation, we are dead spiritually, but Christ gives us life. And He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's in Ephesians 2:1. When you were dead in your sins and in your uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sin. This thing about being born again, I want to clarify what born again is. A lot of people think that they went to church and they had a little revival and, you know, they accepted Jesus Christ into their heart and, you know, wow, I feel cleansed now. I just feel like I've been sanctified and set apart. But to be born again is not a one-night thing. It can happen supernaturally. My life became born again in a touch. And then, poof, I was taken, and then the rest is all history. But with most of us in our lives, it's a process. To become born again is a daily walk. You just can't become born again in one day. It's a conscious awareness of separating the thoughts from the heart. And to build yourself up to the point where you can actually hear the heart or hear the voice of God. You know, the voice of God is this still small voice that speaks inside of our inner being. Most, when they come to this truth or come to this gospel, my God, they are so far away from that voice. There's a point of numbness that has to actually fade away. It's almost like we were on some real high type medication. Not saying we're on medication, but I'm saying that we are on a really strong dose of something that has comatosed us to the point where that has to wear off and die off to the point where we can actually now start to feel. Some of us can't even feel. We have no emotion of feelings. We might have feelings of anger, feelings of resentment, feelings of depression, feelings of anxiety, feelings of fear, but not the feelings that we need that allow us to hear the voice of God. Most people who are spiritually dead, their feelings are filled of this: severe anger, severe fear, severe worry. They take their anger, they think it's love because they're so angry because they're afraid. And they look at that as love. But in reality, it's all fear. There's no love. There's fear. And the resentment. And their anxiety and worry. All that is their makeup. And they're spiritually dead. With spiritually dead feelings. The gospel is to bring us to these other types of feelings that we don't even really know. And these feelings that we should have in our spiritual life is this sense of peace and security, a sense of comfort and a sense of joy, a sense of love, the kind that gives you butterflies in your stomach, not from nerves, but of affection. These feelings is spiritual and life. It's not spiritual and death. And to come out of death is really to become born again. But I want to speak to the church out there. They think born again is a one-night revival experience. That they've gotten born again. Or you joined a different gospel and now, oh, you're one of those born again people. It's a life. It's an altar changing life. And we have to understand how to get on this road of life and how to come out of spiritual death. This is my goal to this gospel, is to get us out of spiritual death. And I'm going to tell you how to come out of spiritual death. First, You need to discern. You have to have discernment. And that discernment is, what voice is speaking to you? What is talking to you? And I will say this. I thank God that I have discernment. Great discernment. And I will share this, and I will keep sharing this. And I will give you the keys of discernment. And the keys are, anything that is taking away, tearing down, destroying, negative, or accusing is all spiritual death, and it's all the voice of death. But if you can discern what is saying, what is the fruit of those voices, and cast them down and don't listen to them, and walk away, and you resist those thoughts, guess what? That one that is so still and so small, so quiet, will begin to raise up, because of the love of God, it begins to speak to you, and it starts to say things like, you can do this. This is not what you really want. Don't fear. Be strong, for I'm with you. Everything's going to be okay. And then he begins to open up your eyes so that you can see. And then your ears begin to open up so that you can hear. And you begin to become born again. You begin to be raised up. There's a parable in Scripture where Lazarus has been dead. Jesus comes over and speaks to the body, and Lazarus rises up. And he comes out, he comes forth. And that's supposed to be an example of raising of the dead. But this gospel message has the power to raise the dead. And the death that is being raised is your spiritual death into a spiritual life. But that spiritual life is not going to be raised up until, number one, you realize you're not alive. You have to first realize that you are not alive. What voice are you listening to? You know, the foundation of this gospel message should be the road of discernment. How to discern life and death. How to discern it. What has been going on for years, centuries? Lack of discernment. All we know is death. All we know is sin and death. Sin and death. And I'm going to tell you right now, sin is not your actions that you do throughout the week that you might think is good or bad, right or wrong. I'm going to tell you right now, you might as well just throw that definition of sin right out. Sin is nothing more than the thoughts in your head. I'm going to try to simplify this. Sin and death are one. And it's what's tearing you down. It's what's causing you to live in fear. It's what's bringing you to a place of being numb. And then we manifest so-called this passion. And this passion is only driven by fear. And you're not at rest. And you never find your life. And what tends to happen is we tend to put ourselves in a cave or a hole. We don't come out. We isolate ourselves from life. It's called depression. It's called misery. It's called nobody knows, nobody understands, nobody cares. I'm going to tell you right now, you're in sin again. You're in sin. You're back in sin because you're listening to the thoughts that are in your head. You're listening to death. Death is always working on you. It's constantly working on you. Death and sin is always working at you. It's always coming at you. And we have to resist. We have to learn how to resist sin and death. We need to understand how to discern the thoughts and the heart of us. And begin to be honest. Truth. Truth is the weapon that then destroys sin and death in our lives. I want you to know, and I'm going to keep repeating this, sin is not what you think is right or wrong, good or bad. This concept of sin needs to be destroyed. Give me a couple of definitions of sin. Come on. Okay, not this gospel sin. Give me the world's definition of sin.
Prostitution.
Drugs. Adultery.
Cursing.
Anger.
Bearing false witness.
Bearing false witness. Huh?
Jealousy.
Come on, you guys are on a roll. Give me all this sin.
Laziness.
Gambling, lying,
greed.
Greed, give it to me. Oh, that's this gospel sin.
No, that's the other gospel too.
No, the other gospel, they not loving God, offenses. All your anger, all that crap.
In the refrigerator, in the fridge. Excuse me.
That's a sin.
Give me more sin.
Disobeying your elders.
Disobeying your elders. That's a good one. Give me some more sin. Thank you, honey. Murder. Let's go to murder. I like that one. He goes, that's a big sin. Oh, my God. But is there a lot of killing that goes on? Is it all sin? Can you take a military person who went to fight a war and who was commanded to do his job, killed somebody? Is he in sin?
Or
a police officer? Or whatever.
Justified.
Oh, but his sin is forgiven now because of that. I'm going to tell you what. We have a warped conscious mind of what sin is. We got to tear the law down. You're right. You're right, Pastor Tim. And we got to tear the law down because the law is death. It's all in our head. What's your heart saying? What's your heart saying? You need to be obedient to the law written on your heart, and then you are out of sin and you are out of death. You're out of death. The imagination has brought us into spiritual death. The mind has brought us into spiritual death. The heart brings us into a spiritual life. And we have to find this life. And this life isn't only here on earth, but it's everlasting. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It's eternal. And I want to tell you the pleasures of eternity. When you live this life on earth, you don't experience a physical death. I know this. I know this as truth and facts. When you live sin, I'm going to tell you right now, your death is tough. It's rough. It's rough. There's a suffering in it. How many people want to live a life and then pass through death with peace? Amen. Listen, nobody wants to experience the pain of death. Nobody. I'm going to tell you the truth. I know the way to avoid spiritual death. I know it. And the beauty is, you can live a life of a sinner in your mind, till that moment that you feel death knocking at your door, and then you can let it all go and come into the heart, and God just releases you right then and there. I know this because of that person that was on the cross with Jesus. He says, this day, today, you'll be in paradise with me. I bet you, they don't tell you this, but I guarantee his spirit left his body nevermore. And it, no more torment on that cross that moment. But they don't share those revelations with you. They don't tell you the mysteries. And these aren't made up either. But let's get back to spiritual death. You know, we're in and out of a spiritual life and a spiritual death. It's like, it's called lukewarm. He says, it's better not to know me than to know me and be lukewarm. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be sitting on the fence post, you know, and then one day I'm spiritually alive, following my heart, and then all of a sudden I'm battling fear and worry. I don't want to battle fear and worry anymore. I want to get on the path that Pastor Sam said, where he goes before us. He treaded the path and he went before us. And if he goes before us, all those things that we fear don't exist. They don't exist. I know myself, I am working out my salvation. What is working out salvation? Working out salvation is working out that voice in your heart and following it unconditional. Unconditional. Understanding. And I'm going to tell you a mystery. As we walk this path, the things that we don't quite understand become enlightened to us and we see clearer. So you might not see what is happening in the beginning. But as you move and walk forward, you begin to see clearly why things were the way they were and why things were happening the way they were happening and why it is what it is that's taken your life away. Listen, our life is being robbed and we're wondering why our life is not being fulfilled. Well, stop trying to question it. If you get on the path, follow your heart, and as you walk that commitment and become born again, your eyes open to find out what it is. We spend all of our lives questioning why? And we think we can figure out why, and we go in different avenues of our life, doing different things, never following our heart. Because of fear. Because of power of fear, worry, and anxiety. I say fear, worry, and anxiety because fear is the master, and then it masks itself as a worry. And then it creates anxiety inside of us. And that anxiety vibrates out all the joy and peace. So anxiety is like a vibrator that just and vibrates you to a nervous wreck. It doesn't bring you to a place of settlement. It doesn't bring you to a place of peace. You're like jittery, nervous, upset. So when you know these symptoms and you understand, it's much easier to walk the path. And that's what the gospel's for. To show us how to get on the path. To give us understanding of what is what. And to have spiritual death. And to live spiritual death. And if we continue to live spiritual death, what do you think is our eternal life? Death. And that's why it's so important. That's why God raised up a preacher to preach the gospel message, to pull people out of the spiritual death that they were born in. Listen, we didn't do anything wrong. We were born in it. It's like an area geographically that you were born in. Did you deserve it? Some were born in a really great area. And then some were born in a really bad area. Some were born in a really good country. Some were born in a really bad country. But they were born in it. Did they do anything good? Did they do anything bad? It just is. It just is. You can't put any blame on anybody. You can't do it. It is what it is. So do we get over it and find what we're supposed to find, spiritual life? It says here, okay, I already spoke about Lazarus, so it says, to illustrate, think of Jesus' raising of Lazarus in John 11. The physical dead Lazarus could do nothing for himself. He was unresponsive to all stimuli, obvious to all life around him, beyond all help or hope, except for the help of Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. At Christ's call, Lazarus was filled with life, and he responded accordingly. In the same way, we were spiritually dead, unable to save ourselves, powerless to perceive the life of God, until Christ called us to himself. He quickened us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And that's the beauty of this gospel. Listen, you could be a really bad person. You're only bad because you really didn't follow your heart. You're angry, mad, upset, fearful, worried, the whole nine yards, which is causing you to be a bad person. But if you follow your heart, you actually transition into who you really are. And we're all longing to be transitioned in who we really are. We're all lost. We don't know who we are until we make that step of faith. Cast down all the imaginations and begin to follow and be truthful to who we are. Come down to fear. Get rid of it. Cast it away and come into perfect love. And that perfect love is what Pastor Sam said earlier. We need to trust God. What you mentioned earlier, trusting God. If we don't trust God, then we're in sin. We need to trust him. We need to come to a place of being settled down, casting out that fear and trusting God. It sounds so simple, but it's so hard because of the nature we're born in. And because that nature we were born in is fighting against the nature of life. Our nature that we were born in is fighting against our heart, fighting against God's will. It's fighting against the life that has been given to us. And we need to find it. This is what the gospel message is about. Finding the life that's within inside of us. It says here, the book of Revelation speaks of the second death, which is a final and eternal separation from God. Only those who have never experienced new life in Christ will partake of this second death. And that second death is what we spoke about. You know, there's the first death, you have spiritual death, then you have the second death. And I really mean this with all my heart, soul, and mind. The condition you leave this earth is the condition you're going to be in that eternal realm. And you might think you're in a really good place. You know, you might be content right now, but that's only deception. You're deceived. You're not content. It's lie. It's a lie. You became numb. You became spiritually numb. And it's a deception that darkness has mastered over us. And we have become complacent. and it's too late when we die. And then we find out that we've been deceived from the master deceiver all this time. I know this truth because whether I died or left my body, who knows? But I saw the eternal realm. And I know how important it is to get out of this numbness that we're all living in. Now, you might think you're a good person, and you might have the comforts of life, and you might think everything is cool, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's deeper than what you think. We're talking about spirit and its eternity. We're talking about something that really should begin to waken you up and start being honest about yourself and asking yourself, am I true to me? Am I true to myself? Am I being honest? Am I being truthful? Am I happy? Am I full of joy? Do I feel cleansed? With this note, I ran out of time. But I want everyone's head bowed for a moment. My prayer is that we come to a place of being honest with ourselves. Are we spiritually dead, going with the motions? Or are we going to become born again and become alive? Lord, I ask, and you say, pray to the Lord of Harvest. Lord, I ask that you send your angels going forth before us and save those who are lost. Awaken them, quicken them by your Spirit to show them this mystery of being spiritually dead and becoming truly born again. Lord, give them life as you gave me life. As you gave others this life, give them life, those who don't have this life. With all the authority that is in me, I pray. Holy Spirit, come. Quicken us to a deeper level of you. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. At this time, I'm going to ask Pastor Sam, if you can just close us. Thank you.
We said it many times in this place, but the enemy's biggest weapon against us is making us believe that he's us. We think that we're good because he lies to us and says, there's two laws always. There's an outside law and a law written on your heart. And here's how you know where you're living. You stop trying to control everything and everybody in your life, and you focus on you. That's how you know. You stop trying to control your kids, your job. You stop trying to control everything and everybody, and you can rest from that, and you start looking at yourself. Amen. That's how you truly find rest. You start focusing on you and making sure you're applying truth in everything you do and making sure you're reacting. Like Tim said earlier, take two steps back every time. If you're worried about everybody else and trying to control and letting things outside of you steal your peace and your joy and you're worried about that, you're not living this gospel. It has to be an inner reflection always, 24/7. Why even look outside? It's disgusting. Everybody is hurting. The world is the nasty place. Focus within. You'll see paradise. What did Jesus say to the guy on the cross? Today you'll be with me in paradise. This is where paradise is, inside of you. Listen, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in you. All the fullness of the Godhead, all the fullness of God dwells inside of you. In you is the fullness. We need nothing. It's finished. It's all been laid out before us. We just got to stop worrying about outside and start looking within and letting God do his job. Let the truth of this gospel do its job. The truth will never, ever not hit its mark. It'll never come back void. The truth will always hit its mark. If we just meditate and we put these CDs on in our car and always are focused on ourselves and not blaming anybody or anything for our lack of peace and joy, we're living this gospel. And we're sitting back and we're having peace and joy, and it's already finished. We try to fight out there, we lose the battle. We lose our peace, we get frustrated, we can't win. You can win by surrendering to this, like he said, take two steps back. That's inner reflection. That's where life is. Amen? So this week, have a great week, guys. We'll see you next Sunday for service. And our next Wednesday night is what date, Tim?
July 11th.
All right, God bless. Have a great week, guys.